It is tempting at times to follow that crowd. You got to wonder, they're making good connections down there. They're having fun. Well, good morning, family. It's good to see everybody here. I'm glad that you're visiting. I usually walk over here, but I don't have my mic on, and there's a reason for that. We've been studying for the last four, this is our fifth part, this thing called God's Toolbox. And if there's anything I know about tools, and for any of you that like tools and have tools or work with tools, you can never have enough tools, number one. I'm getting a lot of affirmation on that one. It was good. I like that. Good answer. And the second thing is, if you don't know how to use them and use them correctly, they can hurt you. And then you got to have a different crowd come and take care of you when you... Cody, didn't you have an accident not too long ago in the wood shop? Okay. Well, my idea of success at my school where I teach my woodshop class is that none of the kids come out looking like this. I mean, they might like rock and roll, but this is not the permanent thing. And at the end of the year, when they have all their digits and their fingers and everything, they might have shed a little blood, they might have gotten some splinters, but they learned how to use the tools correctly. Well, one of the things that we're commanded to do in the Bible is to raise up future leaders, raise up our disciples to teach and to share. In the practical experience of life today, Kenny would know this, as a journeyman, you have apprentices that work with you, and your apprentices come up and follow, and they are mentored by those that know. And if you read the Bible at any length, you're going to find a lot of that kind of a situation. Mentors, mentees, over and over and over again. And that's how the church grew. And so I would be remiss as your pastor, and Todd, you would probably affirm this as well, that if you're not teaching somebody to be raised up behind you, I love the old adage, it says, why should you be promoted if you don't have anybody who can replace you? And the question is not that you can't be replaced, because every one of us can be replaced. It's, are you doing something actively about it? And there's not a position in our churches today, anywhere in the world, hi, Mert, that can't be replaced. Nothing is irreplaceable. Nobody is irreplaceable except for Jesus. And so I say that to this, just to say this, if I would be remiss if I'm talking about tools and a toolbox and these wonderful tools that we need to learn how to use correctly, if we're not doing everything we can to help raise up people in our church. And you do that by finding younger crowd, the people that are excited or passionate, and you focus on their giftedness, which we're going to be talking about next week as one of our tools. And you point them in the right direction. You mentor them. You breathe truth into them. You pray over them. And we take it from there and we let God do his thing. So today I'm not going to be preaching. And Todd, again, you would know this. You know, this is your spot. If this is your spot. And faithfully, I've been coming up. I'm 12 years almost now. How long were you here? Seven years. So you know it's not easy. It's not, but you love it, and it's what you're called to do. And so doing this and letting it go or giving it up even for a day is not an easy task to do. But it's made easier when you know that somebody that wants to come up and do this cares enough to love what they do. So Cody, come on up, brother. Cody is going to be preaching today on this next set of tools, the armor of God. And I'm going to go in the back, and Aaron's going to go downstairs, take care of kids, and I'm going to be the techie today. So, Cody, welcome, brother. Come on up, and let's share the word, okay?
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I don't know what to tell you. But it's too late to run now, and the doors are locked, so you're stuck with me. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Surely we can do better than that. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let's act like we're happy to be here. God's good today, ain't he? Pastor asked me to preach this morning, and I greatly appreciate him and you guys for listening to me and the opportunity to share God's word. But this morning I'm mostly excited that there's a God in heaven that still saves and forgives sinners. Amen. Ain't it a good day to be saved? Know that your reward is in heaven, and God has been good to us. Before we get into the word this morning, one thing, I ask this every time that I preach. I'm about as nervous enough to run, like, remember the Looney Tunes on TV? But run straight through that wall, and he'd leave the imprint of him. That's me right now. It'll last about 5 minutes, and then I'll be fine. The Holy Ghost will move in here, and we'll be happy. But I just ask you if you'd pray for me, just take calm my nerves down a little bit. But what I was getting ready to say is I'd actually, one of the last times I preached at the Atwood Church, actually, I shared something with them, and I was thinking about what to add, what kind of an illustration this morning to share with you guys on the subject, the armor of God. And I got to thinking about this, and I think it's going to fit right into place. The story is called The Old Woman and the Atheist. Long time ago, there was an old woman of God, and she started her day out every morning. She'd go out there on her front porch, and she'd raise them little old hands, and she'd say, "Praise the Lord!" And she would name off the things that she was thankful for and the things that God had done for her. And she would also bring up her concerns. And she'd go out there every single morning faithfully to tell the Lord how thankful that she was for him. Well, all good things got a little hiccup every once in a while in them, don't they? An atheist moved in next door to her. So every morning, this little old saint of God, she'd come out, "Praise the Lord!" And it about drove that atheist nuts hearing that every single day. He goes, "Well, if I could just get her to shut up for just a couple more days." So anyway, she goes out on her front porch and she starts her morning out, "Praise the Lord," and she goes, "Father, I'm coming on hard times. I've run out of groceries. Father, I ask that please, Lord, provide groceries for me." Well, Mr. Atheist is sitting over here in the corner. He goes, "All right, I got an idea for this." Next day, the little old lady, she comes out on her front porch, and there's two big old bags filled to the brim and overflowing with groceries. She sticks her hands up again, and she goes, "Praise the Lord. Oh, God, you did it. Lord, you did it. Amen. Lord, thank you, thank you." And just at that time, the atheist pops out of the bushes, and he goes, "Ha, I caught you. There is no God. I bought those groceries for you." And without missing a beat, that little old lady, she goes, "Oh, praise you, thank you, Lord, and you made the devil pay for it, too." Amen? I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind having that little old lady as my neighbor. We'd just start our day off every morning out there on the front porch just screaming and having us a spell about how good the Lord's been to us and what he provided. Amen? But I do want to point something out to you. She had something there, didn't she? Think about that for a minute. She had something. She had something that I wish I could say I had all the time. And I'm just going to go ahead and point this out to y'all right now. Just because I'm behind the pulpit with a Bible in my hand does not make me some kind of spiritual Christian or some super saint. I'm preaching just as much to me as I am to everybody in this house. But this woman, she had one thing that will drive the devil nuts and frustrate the heck out of this world to pieces. And she had something called the armor of God. And if we're being honest with each other this morning, and I asked you, do you put on the whole armor of God in your daily walk? Or if I asked, do you know what the full armor is, or do you know how to put it on? What would you say? I want to go into this deeper today. And I pray that it would encourage us and it would strengthen us in our daily walk with Jesus. So with that being said, would you go to the Lord with me for just a minute here, and we'll go to pray, and then we'll get started on this. My Father, as I bow in your presence, Lord, I seek your face today. I pray that you would give me the gift to teach. I pray for the unction to preach it, Lord, and the liberty. I pray you'd meet with us today and the Holy Ghost would move freely in your house. Lord, every time I preach, I ask you to hide me behind the cross so that they would see and hear you and not me. And I come to you once again, Father, and I ask that you would hide me behind a bush, under a rock, in the shadow of the cross. Lord, hide me. Move me completely out of the way. Lord, let your words alone come through me. I'm just the messenger. Lord, and I pray if there would be any in the house or listening to this morning that are lost and unsaved, that today would be the day that they would get saved and put their trust in you. Let everything that you want to accomplish today be accomplished, and we'd be very careful to give you all the praise and glory and honor, for it's in Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen. I've got tons of notes, so if you see me going crazy with a bunch of papers, it's all right. If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And this is going to be our main scripture text that we're going to be in. I'll be bouncing all over through the Bible, so just you stay here and I'll go do the rest. It's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and we're going to read 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. If you found it, go ahead and just say amen, and we'll get started this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers, the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. To add some context to the scripture that we're reading right now, this is the Apostle Paul addressing the believers in the church of Ephesus, which is now in modern-day Turkey. So this would have been written at about 60 to 62 A.D. So roughly we're about 27 to 29 years after the crucifixion of the Lord. So what you're looking at this morning, I want you to get a grasp of this. What you're looking at this morning is a letter that was written to a church in a congregation just like us 1,965 years ago. Isn't that amazing that we still have access to things like this? That we live in a good country where we can have a good Bible. We can have the Bible, the Word of God. And we're not in a third world hell hole where this is outlawed. And if you even have it, they're going to kill you. But we're lucky enough to have this 1,965-year-old document. And even being 1,965 years old, this document still is pretty relevant to us, I would say. In my short 35 years of life, I have found that if you want something good, if you really want to read the good stuff, you better go to the old stuff. So I'm lucky and I'm happy that we have that old of a document that we can go back and look and instruct us in our Christian life. Okay, let's start. Let's go to verse 11 here real quick. Let's read this one more time. Tells us to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, wiles can be translated from the Greek word methodia. And I'm going to ask you a question. If I said the Greek word methodia, what English word would you think would sound like methodia? Method, exactly. So, wiles means the methods of the devil, the wiles of Satan. Satan is an adversary. He is our adversary, and he certainly is that in every sense of the word. You see, my friend, Satan is very good at binding you up and wrapping you up in sin and in false doctrine, leading us astray. And he's pretty good with them fiery darts. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what your Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8. And he's a good liar, and he's the chief of deceivers. And make no mistake about it, the devil's playground is your mind. That's where he wants to take control at, and that's where he wants to screw you up. The devil will use whatever tool he has at his disposal to crush you, to ruin you, and do his dead level best to keep you from having a relationship with the Lord. But while Satan has his tools to come against us, we have far better tools. while Satan's trying to fight us with some old junk, or just old junk even from our past, we have God's toolbox. And that thing never gets old, and it never ages. All we got to do to access that really is to just get serious in our walk with the Lord. What we really need to do, I'm going to get redneck here with you just for a second. What we really need to do is we need to walk ourselves down to Jehovah and Son hardware store and pick us up a box of whole armor of God that He'd give to us, I take that back, paid in full by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it on and do some serious fighting and some serious spiritual warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's what 2 Corinthians 10:4 says. And this is very serious. Have you seen what's going on in the world? And Satan has control over this world, amen? He is the God of this world. Just some of the things that are going on, that's just nuts. I mean, men can have a baby. There's more than two genders. Homosexuality and pedophilia are running rampant. Abortion is not murder, but rather that it is a woman's right. There's fatherless homes. Am I painting a picture here good enough to tell you what this world looks like? Have you seen what's going on in Israel and Iran? Let me throw you one better. Did you hear about the preacher that was crucified this week? Where was that at? Ethiopia? Arizona. This nutcase went down to Arizona and crucified a pastor because he preached the name of Jesus. He had 14 others on his hit list before they caught him. Is that a good enough picture of what the heck this world has turned into, this godless society that we live in? I believe everything that needs to happen or has happened or is happening for the Lord to come back, I believe all we're waiting on is a shout, church. But until that glorious day and that appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, we had better be ready. We had better be wartime ready. When we set foot out into this world, we had better have on the whole armor of God. And you may be asking, well, preacher, what is the whole armor of God? And I'm glad you asked. Some of you may be new. You may have been saved for 20, 30 years, and you never fully understood what the full armor of God actually is. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And that's the whole point of being here today, is it not? That we would gain knowledge and understanding in the Lord and His Word. Now, depending on who you ask, there are 6 or 7 pieces that attribute to the full armor of God. So we're going to start off with our first one here, and that is the belt of truth. You see, the devil wants you to think that you are who you are. And just let that sink in for a second. He's a manipulator. He's a deceiver. He's a liar, and he hides the truth. He doesn't want you to know who you really are. He wants you to believe on that you are who you think you are. The truth of it is that you can't even depend on your own mind. Do you trust your own mind? Because I don't. I trust Him. I believe Him. I know Him. I know one higher and mightier than me. I know one greater than me. I know one who is the living truth. I know the one that it is impossible for Him to lie. I know the truth, and the truth will make me free. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by me. I want to know the Father. How do I know the Father? I know Him through truth. I want to know about heaven. How do I know about heaven? Through the truth. I want to know about sin. I want to know about the fall of man. I want to know about the remedy of sin. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know how I'm kept. I want to know about how my sins are forgiven. How do I know all this, preacher? You're going to learn it from the truth. And the truth will make you free. Thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth of God. Anything said differently than that is a lie, and Satan is the father of lies. He doesn't want you to know about the truth. He doesn't want you to really know who you are. Because, brother and sister Christian, once you find out who you really are in Christ, what he's done for you, your standing with God, then everything changes about your life. Your standing with God doesn't depend on what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter, or you don't even really matter right there at that given time, or your present life. Your standing with God absolutely and entirely depends on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I either have him as my Savior or I don't. It's one or the other. It's either I do or I don't. There's no gray areas. It's either I belong to him and he belongs to me, or I have nothing to do with him and he has nothing to do with me. And I'd love to spend more time on the belt of truth, but we've got six other ones, so I need to keep going. But let me finish the belt of truth with just saying this one more little part. Satan is going to use certain tools like fear to distract you from the truth. Well, what about my coworker? What's he going to say if I tell him about Jesus? Or what are they going to think if I'm praying out in public? I can't invite them to church. I mean, what if they say no? Or what if they don't even talk to me anymore? The fear of the unknown scares us. I'll be the first to admit that. What if the economy crashes? What if I lose my job or this or that? The truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I put on the belt of truth, I can look at the devil in the eyes and say, "Not today, Satan," because my God is truth. Give me a sec. These are called the can't help it. He tells me he will never leave me nor forsake me. You have no power or authority over me, devil. I am a child of God. Satan hates the truth. Therefore, put on the belt of truth. Number two is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, and I don't care, I've prepared for this, and this is the worst tongue twister I've ever had to sit up here and preach for some reason, is the breastplate of righteousness. I practiced this morning, so just deal with me. Like I said, you're stuck with me. The breastplate of righteousness is your spiritual warfare bulletproof vest. Think of it like that. If I have any hunters in here, let me relate to you here for just a minute. When you're up in your tree stand and you're eating your little Debbie snack cakes and you hear that twig break and then you see this monster buck walking out here about 20 yards, you know that you are in prime distance of dropping this thing. Amen. So draw back your bow, but where are we going to aim at? Brother Paul, where would you aim at?
Right for the heart and lungs.
Exactly. Right for the heart and lungs. You put one in him and get that exactly where the heart and the lungs are, buddy. He ain't gonna run too far, and he's not going to put up too big of a fight. He's going to collapse and bleed out because you took the wind out of him, and his heart is no longer driving him. And, well, too bad Mr. Deere didn't have on a breastplate of righteousness, because now he's going to be dinner. But this same thing can be said about Christians, too. Satan and his demons in this devil-filled world would love nothing more than to spiritually take the wind out of you and go straight to your heart to take you out of the fight and to even sift you as wheat. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We've got to have on our breastplate of righteousness. We can't fight if our heart ain't in it. We got to have something protecting it. We've got to have some kind of a barrier. And I'll speak for myself here, but I'm sure that you would agree with me. But the devil loves to attack the heart of the righteous. Amen. Even with them little whispers, them little subtle blows that he throws at you to get you knocked off your guard and to not listen to you. Maybe something, psst, you'll never be a good enough preacher. Psst. God won't forgive you about that. Psst, are you really sure you believe in this God thing? Psst, oh, you think just because you're a Christian now that your kids will talk to you again? psst, you're right. The grass is greener on the other side. You ought to leave your husband. Oh, yeah. Those fiery darts come flying in, and sometimes there's so many of those arrows that are coming into us, or that are coming to us, it almost blocks out the sun. But until those arrows, they see the S-O-N in us, those darts go to flying off because we've got our breastplate on. No devil, I'm going to praise my Jesus. I'm going to keep trusting in Him. Ain't no devil in hell going to change my mind. You have no power or authority. Get thee hence, Satan. That's what the Lord told him in the wilderness. My heart is guided and guarded and protected. Bless the name of Jesus. And in all, I'm all in for God. And if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can go into the furnace, and if Daniel can go into the lion's den, and if Jonah can come up out the belly of a whale, I know my God will protect me, my heart, from them fiery darts, because Jesus gave me the breastplate to withstand them. Remember the old saying goes that, you know, to guard your heart? If our heart was righteous, we'd let God do the guarding, and we'd stick to serving, trusting, and being obedient to Him. Number three is the shoes of peace. Some even put the sandals of peace. Either one, it's a shoe. The shoes of peace, they represent your readiness and stability that comes from being grounded in the peace found in the good news of Jesus Christ. This peace doesn't mean that we ain't going to have any conflicts or trials or tribulations or anything like that, but a deep seated peace in our souls with the Lord through salvation. This peace is given to us that believe in Him to stand firm in our faith and to share the gospel. And we've got to be ready at all times, because it's getting pretty evil out there today. And there's a lot of watered down Christianity out there today, and some watered down sermons. And they're just out there to tickle the ears and make us feel important and pretty. Romans chapter 1, 13 through 15 says, "For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings and good things." The devil deceives so many Christians in this world today because we're so worried about the rat race and this temporary world, and that we forget to share the gospel with those and that are lost and need to hear it. And if this is you and you need to hear, if this is you, you need to know that you don't have your shoes on. And if you don't have your shoes on, the shoes can't protect you in this world. Plus, your feet stink. I wish you would put your shoes back on. All right. But think about this for a second. But what if that someone who so desperately needed to hear Christ ended up in a sinner's hell because we didn't have our shoes on that day? What if there is that one person out there today that's hurting and dying on the inside that wants and needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're just waiting on you to be faithful to the Lord and put your shoes on and tell that person that Jesus loves them? Put your shoes on, church. Number four is the shield of faith. If the question was asked to me, to name from the Bible somebody who shows incredible faith, I would definitely have to point to the Apostle Paul. And there's people that run down the Apostle Paul, and I'm not one of those. I respect Paul tremendously, and he's one of my heroes in the Bible. This guy had enough faith that he could move him probably about four or five mountains at a time. From a sorry, low-down murdering devil named Saul of Tarsus, who was even the one that held the coats for the men that stoned Stephen and then became the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles who wrote half of your New Testament. That just doesn't happen on its own. To make that kind of a change, that can't happen all by itself in a person. Paul's entire being, his body, soul, and mind had to change for a reason. He had to have faith in something that was greater than his flesh. And that faith was completely in our Lord Jesus Christ, 100%, no questions asked. The Apostle Paul loved the Lord. And like the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul also was persecuted. He's put in prison, and eventually he did die for his faith. 5 times he was given 40 stripes from the Jews. That means that there's 200 times that he was whipped. 3 times had been beaten bloody with rods. He was stoned once and almost died. He survived 3 different shipwrecks. He constantly had people after him. He was put in jail, I believe, 7 times from preaching the gospel. And with all these things that happened to him, do you know what any other sane human being would have done? I'm done. That's enough. But not Paul. If anybody had the shield of faith on, it was Paul. And you know what he said about all this instead? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You want to talk about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul oozed faith, and he kept it till his last breath. Oh, church, I pray that this morning that we would keep the faith till our last breath and not give up and not quit. Keep fighting. There is a God in heaven that loves us so much. He wouldn't give up on us and gave us his only son that we would be forgiven and spend eternity with him in heaven. And how sad is it that he did all that for us, and a lot of the times we repay him with lukewarm faith or just downright quit on him. Instead, I pray that we would hold fast, hold on till the end, like the Apostle Paul outlines for us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Don't give up. Don't give up on the faith. We need to think more eternally than temporary, because this life is a vapor, but eternity is forever. Number 5 is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is very important, obviously, to us. If you have received salvation, true salvation, you are a new person. You're now a son or a daughter in Christ, and you are to be set apart, and you receive eternal life. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 8 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse number 6 says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth not, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom thou now ye see him not, yet you believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Ain't it a good day to be saved? Amen. the peace that I feel knowing that I'm saved, that I know that I know that I know that I know that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is my eternal security. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Do you know that you're saved? You could have been coming here for 20, 40, 60 years, but coming to church does not get you saved. Salvation is a person that you must have a relationship with. Salvation doesn't come from the baptism tank. Salvation does not come from being a good person. Salvation does not come from the biggest check that you've ever wrote to the church. Salvation is of the blood that was shed on Calvary. And when I bowed my head that day and I said, "Oh God, forgive this drunk," He reached down and shook the hell out of me and He saved my soul. If you believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, was God in human flesh, and He was crucified and gave up His life for our sins, and on that third day He was raised and then later was ascended to the right hand of the Father, where He currently sits at, you are my brother, you are my sister in Christ. And you have a salvation, or you have a helmet of salvation to keep you from the enemy. And aren't you glad to know Jesus today? If I didn't have Jesus today, there ain't enough men in this church to keep me from running down to this altar and getting saved. Before I left out them back doors, I would know that I know that I know, as crazy as this world is, that I'm saved. What would you do, or what would happen, if in 15 seconds from now we heard trumpets and a shout? Would the thought of that excite you? Or would the thought of that absolutely scare you to death? Would you be in eternal peace or an eternal fire? 5, 4, 3, 2. There's no second chances. There's no such thing as purgatory. Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? He's coming back, folks. Sooner, much sooner than we'd think. You had better be ready. He comes when we least expect it. You had better get saved today and have that eternal security that heaven is your home. And if you don't, come to Him today. And if you do have Him and He calls us home today, I will meet you by the river. Number six, the sword of the Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Bible, this book, I believe, from in the beginning in Genesis to amen in Revelation. Every word is the inerrant, unfallible Word of the living God. This book is alive. It's not finished yet. But Brother Cody, men wrote that book. And if you think that's the truth, I have a very, very profound statement for you. Yes, man may have jotted down, but the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:21, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." God did the writing. Men just put the ink on paper. Or the chisel to the stone. We can use this book as a tool to directly combat Satan, because, spoiler alert, he can use it on you. Did you know that? Satan can use the Scriptures to combat you. Remember what he did to the Lord in the wilderness when he was tempting Him? He used Scripture against Him. You'd better read the Word and know how it applies and use it to fight the enemy. The Bible also says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How can a book do all that? It's just words, right? John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the one or the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. When we fight spiritual battles and we use the words of Scripture, we are using the words of God. Hence, we are using the Son of God to fight for us. And I'm glad it's that way too. If we tried to combat Satan on our own, he'd defeat us with ease. But thank God in heaven that He loves us so much that He gave us a Bible that we can run to, lean on, and use every day. And once you've been in the Word long enough, you'll come to find that the Bible reads you more than you read it. Think about that for a minute. You can read the Bible for 20, 30 times, interpret a scripture the same way, and then on the 31st time, it just jumps off the pages at you, and you say, oh my goodness, I know I've read this. How did I miss this? Or I never understood it like that. That's because the Word is alive, and the Father is revealing the deeper truth to you, and for you to use it and to apply it. I feel like I skipped one, Pastor. But we're gonna keep going. It was besides the last one. The last one, number seven here, is prayer. I didn't write any notes for this because I just wanted to talk to you from my heart on prayer. I shared this with Brother Paul, and I shared this with Pastor last week because we were talking about prayer. But you know, you can read your Bible, and you can look cover to cover, and you will never, ever, ever find one time that it says that an angel or a cherubim or a seraphim or anything other than man prays to God. Wrap your head around that for a minute. Nothing in this world is given the ability besides little old me and you to pray to the God who created this universe. Isn't that something? Almost makes me think that God wants to hear from you regularly. How much are you praying? Is it something where, you know, you're about five or six bites into your chicken nuggets and you're, oh, hey, Lord, thank you for today and thank you for getting me back home? Or is it just a quick something that, oh, Lord, please let me hit the lottery so I can quit working? Or is it something that you go into your little prayer closet and you close the door and you just get one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ? Whew, I'm about to have me a spell up here. He cared enough about you that He wants to hear your prayer. He wants to listen to you. Sure, he knows the outcome. He already knows what's going to happen. I have not been anywhere today that Jesus wasn't already there yesterday. But He wants you to come to Him. And we struggle. How is it that we struggle with something so simple? And I do get it. There's times that it's chaos. I've got five of them. I mean, I've got five kids. But it's so chaotic and the world is so dark. We don't even know what to ask for. Still, go into your prayer closet and just shut that door and just pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed would be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You just pray that. And you don't, I mean, that'll get God's attention. You know what else will get God's attention? Tears. And you pouring your heart and your soul out to Him. God, my finances, or God, my wife, or oh God, my children, or oh God, me. He hears. And again, I'm going to repeat this. I have not been anywhere today that the good Lord Jesus Christ wasn't already there yesterday. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're about ready to get going through. He knows the outcome of it. And a good example of prayer would be in the Bible, none other than Daniel. Daniel prayed. Does anybody know how many times a day that Daniel would pray? Three times. Every day, three times, he would look to the east towards Jerusalem, and he would pray. He was already in Babylonian captivity, and they changed his name from Daniel to the Babylonian name Belteshazzar. They'd completely changed his diet on him. They told him he couldn't pray. He couldn't read the scrolls. He couldn't do anything except whatever that king told him to do. Daniel prayed. I wish I had that faith a lot of times. I struggle. And again, just because I'm up here behind a pulpit with a Bible in my hand does not make me anything special. No, what makes me special is the blood that is applied to my heart. That's what makes me special. I still feel like I skipped one, but we're just going to keep on going. In closing this morning, we learned about seven pieces of armor that make up the whole armor of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, prayer. Maybe that's what I skipped. Well, maybe I'll preach it next time. And these are some of the most important tools in God's toolbox that can fix virtually anything. But any experienced tradesman will tell you about their toolbox that you always got a lock on it when you're done with it. And God's toolbox is no different. You need a key to get access to the tools that are inside that toolbox. That's the key. If you want to access God's toolbox, if you want to access the full armor of God, you're going to need a key. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus and being covered by His blood, we have no access to the toolbox. You must know Him and you must have a relationship with Him. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know Him today? You may be brand new here, or you may be just visiting, or maybe you're listening to this sermon online. Maybe you've been here for years and years, and you are not sure if you really, truly are saved. And I ain't going to embarrass anybody or make anybody come down to the altar, but if you choose to, this altar is always opened. If you truly want to get it under the blood and have eternal security, all you need to do is truly believe He really is the Son of God and ask Him to come into your heart as your Savior and ask for forgiveness of your sins. I'm going to ask one thing this morning, and I know we usually don't do this, and this ain't usually the order of the thing going on today, but I care about who, the reason why we're here today. I'd ask everybody if we could bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask all of us, let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to be saved, or if you're not sure that you're saved, I ask that you would repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I heard what the preacher said today, and I'm not sure if I'm saved. I want to be born again. I believe You really are the Son of God. I believe You died for me and are alive forever. Jesus, come into my heart as my Savior and forgive me of my sins. My life now belongs to You, Jesus, forever and ever. And we're going to keep all heads bowed and eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, would you just slip your hand up? And I'm not going to embarrass you, call you by name. I'm not going to make you come down to the altar. I'm not going to do anything like that. I just want to keep you in my prayers. If you said that prayer, if you're listening online or if you're here at the congregation, you can just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Father, You saw hands, You saw hearts that wanted to raise their hands, and You know the hearts of those that are listening online. I pray that this message would be a blessing to them. Thank You for using me yet again, Lord. Let Your righteous, holy name be glorified today. And may we all go out and put on the whole armor of God this week and remember that You've given us a toolbox full of tools. We love you and we thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. Amen.
Good job.
Thanks, buddy.
Yes, sir.
I already had the invitation, so let's get for the communion part. What page is it? 462.